Madam Chair, a point of information. How much time do we have to, for the open session?
Well, theoretically, we have been meeting for an hour. We try to keep these meetings in a two-hour range, so I would say that we have three more agenda items we would like to try to finish up in 25 minutes.
Thank you.
Which I think we can do. We'll have to see, but I think we can do it. If that's not the case, then as a group, we can decide if we're willing to extend to a two-and-a-half-hour meeting. Okay, so the next item on the agenda was a report from Laverne on CPB funds and the prognosis in terms of how it affects the budget process.
I thought Laverne? National Day of Fundraising.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what we did? Okay.
Number four is other / National Day of Fundraising.
Thank you. That was brought up first. Fair enough. Okay, so on the National Day of Fundraising, Barbara had a question about the one day of credit card receipts that was sent to the national office. As a replacement for the National Day of Fundraising that was canceled. So, Laverne, do you want to talk a bit about that and how it's working?
Sure. So this, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. This is short and sweet. The agreement was that because of the huge payables that we had at the end of the year, that the agreement was that we had talked about a National Day of Fundraising. So the general managers discussed that, and we thought that what's the best way to do it, that in national days, the fundraising days, we would devote those national days as teach-ins on the nuclear industry and on labor held. And there was kind of like a soft fundraising, but not a hard hitting. And the agreement is that the stations would just do an additional day or just average one of the days of the fundraising that would be done for the spring. So different stations did it differently. So then what we agreed with the general managers is that, you know, we want to reduce the debt. We do need to pay FSRN and Democracy Now. So what we would do is that it was agreed with most stations is that we would average a single day of fundraising and use that to reduce the debt for the shared expense debt like Democracy Now. And so that was the agreement among the general managers. But in one instance, one of the stations did a day of fundraising.
And I will add that the national board was informed and approved of this some time ago.
Fine. So that's what's happening. And on CPB, we had the NFCB conference held in San Francisco. I guess that was weekend before last. And there were a number of speakers there. I don't have my thing here. One of the individuals from NFCB talked. So they do have funding through 2013. That's how they have gotten funding through that year. And my statement about not using CPB as when you do your budget, you know, that's a noble effort. And, you know, if you could do that, that would be great. But we will get some funding. Now, how much, since we have closer contact now with NFCB, I should have a better estimate on how much it will be for Pacifica.
So the funding is not guaranteed past 2013 is what you're saying.
Exactly. Precisely. That was the
Barbara for the stack.
That's what we learned there at NFCB.
Okay, thank you. So that's kind of squinting two items together at once. So I guess we'll take questions on either of them. And Barbara, you're first.
I have a question on each of them. Well, the question about the CPB money is, do you have any idea when you will know about this, Laverne, or?
You know, the meeting was weekend before last, so what we'll do is we'll just contact our contact, the contact we have, and we'll let you know.
And my question about the single day of fundraising, now, You say this is to retire debt, but there was some talk about it being completely separate from central services and in addition to. And I just wonder, you know, are people freaking out and getting too wild ideas about it, or are you just saying you want us to pay something of what we owe in one big lump out of the funds that were raised in this last fundraising session?
I'm sorry that you didn't have the information earlier, but yeah, we've kind of discussed this, like Tracy said, whenever there was we discussed.
Maybe you did this in the strategic whatever committee.
In P&B, and we had discussed this. Yeah, that due to our audit and the fact that our auditor called the attention that we had a negative working capital of $810,000 at the end of September the 30th. Also, we have a let me just pull it up right here. I have all this stuff here. A negative working capital of $810,528 at the end of September the 30th, 2010. That due to that we needed to reduce our shared expense debt that we hold at the national office. So, and one of the ways to do it was to do a national day
of extra fundraising. Extra, you're talking about extra fundraising.
To do a national day of fundraising. And
okay, I just have one comment about that, and that is that KPFA has actually paid enough to pay the end of the last year's payables completely. So we're now working on this year's payables, and we would hope, I don't know about other people, that any, you know, large lump that is taken beyond the 19.5% that we would ordinarily be contributing would be counted towards those debts that we have now. Not above and beyond is what I'm saying. That's the question.
Let me just say again. We have negative working capital of $810,000. That's all of us. KPFA alone, their negative working capital was $190,000.
And we paid last year's debt.
No. Barbara, let's send out the report so we can, like, refer to a report when we make these statements. So your current negative working capital at the end of September, at the end of March, is negative $72,000. So there's negative working capital for KPFA. So that's what I have here.
Okay. Then
so let me just finish. Like, just a minute. So what... The PNB, this was the direction from the PNB. This was the agreement with the general managers, and this is due to this audit, is that that's what we would do. So we agreed to do that. So that was an agreement. That was a done deal. The general managers, everyone agreed to it. So, Barbara, that's a done deal.
I know, but my question is
Madam Chair, can we go back to the queue?
Let's just say that it's... One day's worth is $30,000. I don't know what it is. But if it's $30,000, is $30,000 going to be deducted from the $72,000?
From what $72,000?
Well, she just said that as of a certain recent date, KPFA has a debt of $72,000.
I didn't say you had a debt. I said you had negative working capital.
Okay, negative working capital.
As of March the 30th. So, I mean, what? Again, let me just emphasize again, Barbara. This was agreed on.
I know what it's agreed on. I'm just asking whether it pays our current debt.
Folks, this is turning into an argument. The answer to the question is no. This is an additional contribution.
Okay, then I appreciate having a direct answer. Thank you.
That is what the answer to the question is. It is a substitute for a national day of fundraising that was not undertaken by KPFA or by most of the other stations. Instead, the GMs agreed that they would rather simply fundraise for an extra day and donate, and I believe it's only the credit card proceeds, on average, of one day's fundraising total.
KPFA
has a very long fund drive.
Additional.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because...
That's what people are not clear about.
Ken to the queue, please. Ken to the queue.
Excuse me. Can one person talk at a time, please?
I was trying to get to the explanation. Again, a national day of fundraising was canceled. That was planned. And this was the substitute which the general managers, including KPFA's, preferred. in order to meet the obligations that all five stations have, because we owe Democracy Now! A couple $100,000 and we need to make payments on that. KPFA, like all of the other stations, airs Democracy Now!, so if it's behind on those payments, then we have to catch up. Okay. I think I heard Ken first, so I'm going to go Ken and then Bill.
As I understand it, what you're being discussed here was a policy or decision was made by the Pacifica National Board, and which owns all five stations. If the LSB at KPFA considers that they're running a little store in the country somewhere and they want to change a deal that was made at the PNB, they should originate it, but send it up to the PNB. This is the Finance Committee, and I don't see why you'd want to bargain back and forth.
I'm not trying to bargain.
So I just think it's off agenda. Thank you.
Okay, we have Bill next.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out, KPFT has been making central services fees completely, 100% for I don't know how many years, but, you know, I think it's still important to pay back these, pay these debts, and I'd like to help the national office rebuild some reserves. We really need that. The auditor pointed that out also.
Yep.
But also, my question was, how much did all this amount to, the extra one day's worth of credit card receipts?
Not that much, I understand. LaVarn, do you have an amount for approximately what the total will be from all five stations combined?
No, you know, I really don't have that number. We're still like we're just going through the close, so we will get that number. We'll have it for June. We will won't even ask for it. But I do know an amount from WPFW, but the others we really have not calculated the number. And once we get through the close and post the intercompany, then we'll do that.
My guess it would be like in the 60,000 range for probably all five stations combined. Maybe 70?
Yeah, it'd be good. I was thinking between 60 and 80. That's a good number.
Yeah.
Tracy, this is Barbara. I have a brief response like to say.
Okay, hold on just a second. Is there anybody else on the staff who hasn't spoken on either of these items?
Our Paul would like to get on the staff.
That's someone who probably wanted to. Our Paul, you can go ahead, then we'll go back to second.
Very fast. The restricted CPB money we get every year is for FSRN, because that's the money for national programming stuff. And that's been a wash, you know, because we just get that to hand over to them. And I know that some years ago an executive director made an extra deal. So are we still in a situation where we have a contract with FSRN where we're giving them more than what the CPB gives us to hand them?
And the CPAG? I don't know. LaVarn, what's the deal with FSRN? Does CPAG pay it in full, hypothetically, or not?
Yeah, we have not signed a new contract yet. We have discussed it. But we are, the contract right now is the amount that we're getting from CPB. It's the $300K.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing, and we have discussed the new contract. We have not.
Can I have a follow up on that?
Yeah, you can.
All right. So if we're getting it from the CPB, how come we owe it? Don't we just, you know, it passes right through us like grease through a goose and goes right to FSRN, or?
It goes for program and it goes to FSRN, but I'd like to talk about that in a closed session, if you don't mind.
We can kick that question over to closed session. We are about out of time on this item, so Barbara, briefly, and then I think we're going to have to move the agenda.
Well, I'd just like to say I'm really sorry. I feel as though there was a lot of misunderstanding about my just seeking information, because people were not clear as to whether or not this was above and beyond, or was it just trying to get people or stations to pay toward debt that is owed already. And it seems like it's above and beyond. I will happily deliver that answer. And as far as accusations that KPFA thinks it has a little store or something, I don't really understand that comment. Anyway, that's it.
All right. Well, let's try to avoid the comments, and I apologize for the fact that information wasn't clear, and I will address it at the next LSD meeting as part of the report.
Thank you. That would be good,
report.
Because I don't think we got a complete picture of what was happening with that.
That may be. It was an ongoing discussion for a considerable period of time, because it was an original National Day of Fundraising schedule, God knows, way back when. So I don't know if and when I mentioned the change. Okay, so our final item of the open session is Arbitron. That item was suggested by Kim, so I'm going to let Kim kind of go to it. Is he still there? Kim?
Boy, it wasn't suggested. Well, okay, there's, actually, I thought it was Arlene who investigated what it would cost to have Arbitron, I guess, paid by National for all five stations. We would get a 10% discount, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, and it's about $104,000 for all five stations. So, I'm not sure if this would get billed to the stations, and if there's a flat fee for each station, or whether Arbitron bills differently, whether it's a bigger or smaller station. But, you know, it's a national decision. It's also a local decision. Do we want that in our budgets? Do we have room for it? And more importantly, really, how are they going to get used? At our station, we paid for the top-of-the-line Arbitron for the year and a half that I've been there, and it was not used to anyone's knowledge. If one person used it, maybe, but they were not used in a way that we think is worth that money. And yet, we realize that the Arbitrons are valuable information. So if we're going to get it, we need some stipulation about how they're going to be used.
All right, I'm going to kick that over to management. So, LaVarne, do you want to address the question?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, at the NFCB, Joanne Church, who is one of the people, I guess, who runs the Radio Research Consortium, I set up a one-on-one with her, and then Arlene also set up a one-on-one, and we talked with a wonderful person. So she promised, and she did, deliver the information, some of the information that Kim had shared to Arlene, and what she did was she showed the stations that have not paid the Arbitrons over the last couple of years, and the stations that are, and what the costs are. So here's the information. The information is that BAI and PFW owe past due amounts of about $4,000 each. That if we were to get, like, the Arbitron information, we just get the source data, which also I get a copy of, that the cost on that, it varies from $2,900 per quarter to $2,770 per quarter. So that would be, for all five stations, that would be $14,240. Or for the calendar year, it would be $56,960 for all five stations. Now, the part that Kim actually referred to is that you get software. They give you software you can, what they call, drill down. I have not used that software, but I guess you can look at by hour. I'm sure you can get that data. You can manipulate the data. You can see by hour, by day, I'm sure, you know, what the results are, what the Arbitrons are for any, for your system. So it's that type of information that you would get. Now, the data that I have gotten is just summary information that shows for, like, by, you know, afternoons or hours or like, grouping hours together to show, you know, what the results are and where the Pacifica stations lie, the ranking, and then what the numbers are, the audience, and the share, the percentage share for those periods. So if you get the software for all five stations, that would be the $114,500 a year. But if you just get the basic information, that is almost $57,000 a year. And so the 10% discount would make the cost to Pacifica $51,000 without the software, $103,000 with the software, and they would bill to Pacifica, and that's how we would get the discount, and then we would have to bill those costs back to each station. So for
and
them,
what and is it management's feeling that they want that they would prefer to do this?
For
people coming for you?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it depends on, at one time, I was told that we needed to get Arbitrons for CPB or something like that, but I have not gotten that.
No, you don't. I don't think
so. So it depends on, you know, how the stations would like to use that, because the other part is that we're looking at this, is that where each station has, there's a plug-in that we can use that's put into your server, so you can look at online, which your online listeners are, and I know KPFA uses that. So we're doing some research now to get this information. We were here for the frat. I think we talked about this last night to show, you know, what if you put that plug in, and then you can look at your online listeners. And a lot of people say that our Arbitrons kind of mirror these online listeners. And then the other aspect of looking at, you know, how well the programming is doing is really looking at your pledge drive. But I know with KPFA, with all the other stations, they actually show by hour, by program, you know, what the pledges are. But at KPFA, I know you just lump everything in a bank, and like by program, it's not indicated on the pledge card to what program that was actually pledged to. Let me wrap it up. So that's where we stand. So it's up to the station managers to determine if they would like to, if we'd like to go with this and get this 10% discount or not.
Okay. So I would like to be on the stack. I heard Ken and I heard Bill. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack? Or Paul?
Barbara?
Anybody else? Okay. So we'll start with Ken.
Okay. I spoke with the lady from Radio Research Consortium, which is a interplayer between nonprofit radio stations and an Arbitron company that gets a greatly discounted rate. And the rates that they're providing in this aggregated deal are less than the rates that a station would pay separately.
Mm-hmm.
And up front, I just want to say up front that you have to realize that having statistics and graphs and information about the audience's response to the broadcast we're doing is very, very valuable, so you're not driving a car in a tunnel with your eyes closed. However, we all have access to all the information about the stock market, all the graphs and all the opinions, and half of the people make money and half of the people lose money. So it's a question of how they're used, interpreted, and implemented, and the decisions are implemented. So the only thing I wanted to make an additional comment about was I posted these numbers up, that spreadsheet up on the Yahoo group files under Arbitron in the file section. And I also posted some graphs I made of the KPFK Arbitrons for 2010 to show samples of what you might be able to discover. What's important to understand is the major thing is with the base data rates that would cost us about $51,000 a year is only granular to the hour for the and it's only from Monday through Friday. So you can't tell the difference between Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday. You just get 9 o'clock Monday to Friday. So to get the more granular data, you have to go up to the software level, which is about twice as much. So that's $103,000 for the network. And that gives you the ability to generate reports, so to say, that give you graphic analysis. And the running it was very clear that she works with the stations to make sure they get what they want, and they're very friendly about it and all of that. So that's good. I just want to make two other points about this. You can go there and look at the files. But the point is, there's a tendency, and there will or won't be at any point in time, depending upon who's employed and what the situation is, there's a tendency for the data to be somewhat manipulated sometimes by people to show to support the position that they want you to perceive. So it's in having this access to the data, I feel it's very important to make sure we get objective analysis that isn't swayed by somebody who's intending to back a certain program or their position. It's important to get reliable interpretation. And the other thing is, I favor going for, you know, I'm not talking about whether or not we can afford it, but if we do it, we should have it for all the stations, because certainly the station that's having the most trouble is the one who would be most in need of the analysis and least able to pay for it. That's one of the benefits of being in a network, is the stronger can support the weaker. The place where talent and interpretation exists can be used to assist the place where they have a need of that. And so therefore, I would say it's, you know, it's just as important to look at a station that has low ratings than one that has high ratings. And as a matter of fact, most people don't realize it, the highest market share is WPFW. Even if it's less listeners and less gross income, it's got the highest share of that market. So it is useful. It's a useful tool, but it has to be implemented correctly. And if we were going to get it, the $52,000 thing is some kind of an indication of how you're doing, but the $103,000 access enables you to interpret it, what's really effective with the audience, what's popular or not. That's all I had to say, and you can look at those sample graphs I made.
Okay, thank you, Ken. I'm just going to do a time check before we continue with the stack. It's 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock where I am. Normally, we try to wrap these meetings up in 2 hours. We do have a scheduled executive session. Are people willing to meet until 8 o'clock Pacific tonight so we can finish this agenda? I'm assuming that the executive session will run about 30 minutes, give or take. Is that okay with everyone?
I think this
is a good conversation, but I don't want to break the sort of, okay. All right, good. Then the next person on the stack is Bill.
Yeah, I agree with Ken. We need the more detailed information. The last time our GM and program director shared any Barbatron information with our board was about 2 years ago, and it was very interesting and helpful, but it was, like he was saying, it was like all the Monday through Friday shows for a particular hour were consolidated, so you couldn't tell whether a Monday program or a Tuesday program went to work. You couldn't compare them at all. But what I was thinking is that one thing to ask about is, can you get the most detailed information, but instead of getting it a year contract or something, can you get it like for a week or a month? Because we don't need it all the time. And then we can check again another 6 months later or a year later, because unless we're having a program schedule change, we don't need it that often. And then that would let us correlate the data with, Laverne was saying, with our streaming data, which might be better anyway for the shows that don't get a lot of listeners, because I remember from the Arbitron data we did see, it looked like it was really affected by the small sample size in some of our like nighttime shows, that you could tell when individual people came on and off, you know, the personal people meter that Arbitron uses, because all of a sudden it would jump by, you know, like 20%, which probably means one out of five people dropped off. So there was just a quick question. Can we get it? Can we get the data just for short time periods, but you know, however often we need it?
Does someone know the answer, or do we need to hold that for further research?
I believe the answer is no, because we're currently sitting with. They're currently show the back due amount that's due from BAI and PFW, and in order to restart, they want to resolve these past due amounts. So I don't think they're going to allow you to jump in and jump out.
But if you paid the past due, could you do it again for a week's worth of detailed data and then wait a few months and get it again?
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
Ken?
Go ahead.
It's, when you subscribe, you have access to the last, I think it's year and a half of data. They're accumulating data all the time. When you subscribe at a different level, you're buying access. So you jump in for a week, and you can look at all the data they have about you and all the other stations in your region, which is significant.
But you have to pay the fee to get the access.
Yeah, but you pay the fee, and I would think this rate is a contract rate for 1 year. That's why it's discounted, not to go in and out. You know, that would be a higher rate, obviously. In fact,
okay.
I think she mentioned that to me specifically. The rate's going to be dependent upon the length of contract. But I did
okay.
I did forget to say it's significant. Like our programs are mostly categorized at what they call talk info. So in L.A., there's, you know, people don't like to be compared to other stations, but we do compete in the marketplace. So it's
all right.
Relevant.
Okay. Let's go back to the stack. Our Paul was next.
Okay. Now, years ago, I used to argue with our program director, Samori Marksman, and predecessors about the Arbitrons because I think that for the type of radio, the community radio as it's called, that the Pacifica stations do, there's a very narrow way of using this stuff. And I've had to change my idea about it somewhat because now we're directly competing with not just the other radio stations, but with, as we know, a lot of other media, a lot of which is being made up by some of our listeners. And so I think that we need this. I mean, the deal is Pacifica is a radio network, and we desperately need to have a clue as to what our impact is, what we're doing, and is anybody out there listening? We know somebody is, but how many and when and why and to what? And we need to know this because we are in a desperate situation in several ways. We all know the financial situation is desperate, but we're also in the mix that's happening with all media. You'll notice that huge newspapers that have been around, some of them for, you know, 100 years, are merging or going away completely. They're more fiscally sound than Pacifica has ever been. They have had more circulation among some of them than Pacifica has ever had, and they're going away. These are very difficult times. We need every edge we can get to figure out what's happening. If we can look at trend line data and say, oh, look at this, and find something out that's relevant to running a radio network, we've got to grab it, because if we don't know it, we're going to one day say, oh, look, X has happened, and it'll be too late to do anything about it. You know, we'll end up with, you know, hardly anybody listening, or we'll end up with bills we have no hope of paying, and we know what happens then. So I'm glad to hear that it's possible to get something for the past year and a half. That would be excellent, because at BAI we could probably really use that, because we had, I think people may have heard we had some program changes back in November. Might have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be good to see what was happening with the numbers before and what's happening after. I have set up, since I have a web page and stuff, and I have access to a server, when I'm on the air, I can see what my stream is. And I do it, I refresh that every minute. And it would be, you know, for somebody who would have access to the actual BAI server, it would not be a difficult thing. It would take probably 10 minutes for somebody to puke up a script that would save the stream data so that we would have that as well. I mean, somebody could have done that a while ago. But we need this information. We need to see where we've been and where we're going, because if we don't improve things, and I think we need to do something with programming. We're radio stations. Radio is our product. The fact that we're, in my opinion, the fact that we're in such dire financial straits is directly related to our product, which is the air. And we need to know what we can about it, because we can't float around saying, well, we'll try this, we'll try that, because somebody has a whim or that sounds good. We need hard numbers, or we're not going to be able to compete in this much larger media situation. That's what I think.
Okay, Barbara was next, then I'm putting myself on the stack.
Okay,
Barbara?
I only have a small thing to contribute. I did ask Maria today when I was in her office about any record she has about Arbitron and KPFA, and apparently they downgraded the amount or the level of information they were getting from Arbitron, I guess primarily to save money. And it did save a little bit, but the opinion now is that the level of help they're getting from this is really not about our station specifically, but about the market.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that meshes with what other people have found. But anyway, I think that's, if we're thinking about getting something less than the top of the line, we should make sure that we will be getting information specifically about our stations.
Yeah.
Kim to the stack.
Okay. All right. Kim, I wanted to be on the stack, so I'm going to call on myself first and you second, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay?
I'm
just going to make a couple of devil's advocate points. I'm not necessarily opposed to the Arbitron package, and I'm not saying that. I just want to give a little bit of air to what seems to me might be the other side of the argument. So take this with a grain of salt. I'm just throwing it into the hopper. In my own experience with Arbitrons, when I was on KPFA's program council, we had the full Arbitron package. We had somebody come in and train us on how to read them, and we went through several hours of Arbitron studies with this person. My primary recollection of that experience is fundamentally that I learned one thing, and the thing that I learned was that going to Music of the World after Democracy Now! Was stupid, because our ratings went straight down a mountain. That kind of abrupt talk to music transition in the morning wasn't working, and I expect that the new Arbitrons will show us that at 11 a.m. as well. So that said, that was not a bad piece of information to have, although we didn't really do anything about it. But I can't say that I got a tremendous amount out of the repetitive Arbitron data, because we looked at patterns, and we looked at this, and we looked at that, and it was surprisingly consistent. My understanding from people that we spoke to was that years and years of Arbitrons did not show substantial changes. That said, we also did not experience during that period of time substantial programming changes, so maybe it's not surprising that we didn't experience substantial audience changes. But I don't want people to feel like the Arbitrons necessarily tell one everything that you need to know. I'm not sure that's entirely true. In most cases, I think what you intuit about programming and about audience is usually pretty much exactly what the Arbitrons say. In response to what our Paul was putting out about newspapers and the New York Times, he's right, it's a really difficult, complicated landscape, but we shouldn't make a direct one-to-one correlation there. Newspapers are suffering from a lack of revenue based on an advertising model that no longer works. Essentially, community radio, I mean, we're not advertiser funded. So essentially that particular cataclysm is not really what our cataclysm is. I think when you're talking about community radio, there's two issues. One is the size of your audience from a political and cultural impact point of view. In other words, what kind of an impact are we having on the world based on how many people are listening to us? And that is sometimes a separate question from what is the strength of loyalty of our audience, which is a question of how much money we have at the end of the day. Size of audience, loyalty of audience are sometimes not always the same, the same correlation or the same dynamic. Community radio will always have a teeny tiny audience in the marketplace. That's not essentially going to change. The question is, you know, how we financially survive on the portion of the audience that we can likely expect to get, which admittedly should be higher than it is, but it's not necessarily going to vault us into another range entirely. The financial structure for NPR is different than the financial structure for commercial radio is always going to be essentially different. We have to look at a financial basis for the kind of radio station that we are. The other thing about the Arbitrons, of course, is the political stuff around the Arbitrons and the people meters and the rest of it, there are some fairly valid critiques about the way that Arbitron measures. There are racial and economic disparities. There are hidden audiences that Arbitron don't always pick up. And the efficacy of Arbitrons is something that many people have questioned. Obviously, there's nothing else. There is no other data and no other measurement, but it's not always necessarily the gospel truth either. Having said that, I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to take advantage of it, but I just wanted to put out some thoughts about the other side of it for what it's worth. Because we are broke, and it is an expense.
Ken, to the stack on one issue. Okay.
Yeah, I heard Kim, then Ken.
Okay, well, the fact is that 3 out of 5 stations are already paying for it. Mm-hmm. So either, and I have seen no value to KPFK. Last year we had the most expensive kind that was like 5,700 quarterly. And now we have a like 37 quarterly. So I don't know what the difference in what we're paying for is. But we need a policy that if we're going to pay for it, somebody has to use it, and somebody has to see it. It can't. At our station, we have the PD who says our Arbitrons are going up, they're going up, you know, we're doing great, and nobody sees the data. And this is not kind of acceptable, you know, policy or management. So I'm saying, along with, if we want it, what kind of policies do we have to go along with it?
Sure, there's no point to paying for it if you don't use it. I mean,
exactly.
Definitely. Okay, Ken, you're next.
Bill.
Okay, I wanted to point out something I omitted to say. In addition to what you would think of with the Arbitrons is who's listening when, is the ability to break it down by demographics, and that's age and identified race and gender, and whether you're in your home or you're in your car, and what your income is. So apart from going after the just to make more money or increase listenership, it could be used in a sociological way to say we want to expand our listenership in some subset of the broadcast area that we're hitting, and we're not getting enough of a certain category of public, and so we want to adjust our programming for that. So in that way, it's more than just related directly to income. It kind of aligns with the mission statement and a more sophisticated, futuristic attitude about it. Like, who are we talking to? Not how many, but
yeah.
Who are we talking to? What kinds of people? And the only other comment I would have to make is, I understand that it's in the bylaws that we're a community-based radio station. However, I know that at KPFK, our signal is the strongest west of the Rockies, and it goes from Santa Barbara to San Diego. So, I mean, it's not like a 30-mile range or, you know, just a neighborhood radio station. It's a large metropolitan radio station, even if it's called a community radio station. And we, you know, I think we have a responsibility to utilize that potential. And I would assume the Arbitrons would help. I feel, you know, I completely agree with Kim. If you could have a brand new buzzsaw that got lights and computer plugs and everything, and if it just stays in the closet, or somebody pretends to use it, it's no good. The data has to be used, distributed to the proper audience, implemented, decisions have to be made, and monitored. That's all. I just wanted you to know about the enhanced demographic information that's available through the subscription.
Okay. I think Bill was next.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Tracy. If, you know, if the cost is $57,000, and that's without even getting the software to allow the detailed information, I'm not sure it's worth it. I mean, I would like to get the data, but I was sort of assuming, you know, we could get a snapshot of it and then pay for another week a year later or something, but if that's not possible, it may be right. And I also share Barbara's concern that, you know, like at KPFT, it's sort of like it's a secret, you know, and I'm not sure anybody's looking at the data most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We get it, and, you know, we've seen it 2 years ago, and that was it, and we didn't get the detail we really needed anyway then. But I was going to say there are some other ways you can get some data, and one possibility is surveys. There's some online survey things like what we've done for some of our evaluations. A lot of you got the online evaluations for the CFO and ED last year. You can tailor you can do a different kind of a online survey. We've done it at KPFT where you put a link on our website and broadcast a message on the air saying, please help us evaluate our programming or something like that. And everybody likes to give their opinion on programming. And it costs really minimal amount of expense. It does take some time to set up and analyze. It does take some time. Board members hopefully could do that if you get some people that are computer literate and interested in statistics. But you can ask questions and you can get data you cannot get from Arbitron. You can look at comparisons between who listens to this show versus who listens to another show, and do they donate? And how much do they donate? And also you could ask demographic information if that's relevant. So you can actually get more information. It does tend to select against people who don't have computer access, but like Arbitrons, they may be selecting against people that don't like to carry the personal people meter also.
Okay. Yeah.
And they're streaming data too, which might be, again, a real good correlation too.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. We shouldn't spend like an army of more time on this. Can I ask Arlene, has there been any discussion amongst the GMs about wanting to do this or not wanting to do this, or do you want this committee to come up with a recommendation to the PNB? Where do you want this conversation to go?
I have it on the agenda for the staff meeting this Thursday.
Okay. Would you be willing to report back to the NFC at the next meeting, sort of what the consensus was?
Right. I'm not sure
at
that may be a meeting that I can't be at, but I'll get something to you in writing, or LeVarne will have it, but we'll get it back to you.
Okay, because I'm thinking that it's a budgetary item that the treasurers need to know about if we're going to go ahead with it.
It is.
But it sounds like we should have GM feedback, and then we can kind of take it from there. What I'm hearing is some people are supporting it really strongly, and some people are a little more lukewarm, but there seems to be a consensus that if we are going to get it, it's important to have, I don't want to say a policy, but to have a consensus about how we're going to use it so that we get our money's worth. I mean, that seems to be kind of universal, so we don't just get all this stuff and stick it in a drawer and ignore it.
Totally support that.
Yeah. So is it okay to kind of, at this point, kick this over to the next meeting after we get some GM input? Is that okay with everyone?
No moves by me.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there anyone who wanted to weigh in on this who didn't?
One comment. I know that our business manager asked whoever it is that's sending this Arbitron version that we get to include the interim general manager and the interim program director, I think. So Arlene should certainly be able to find out if they've even looked at them. We also have the concern about them not being used.
Yeah.
Right, and we have a program director's meeting coming up on Tuesday, and I'm putting it on the agenda for that, too.
Good.
Right. Okay.
That's a monthly meeting where the staff that includes the GMs meets every week.
Okay, and who were the treasurers who didn't say anything? Jim, Bruce, do you have any desire to weigh in here, or?
No, not Jim.
No, other than to say this, at least at our station, we know that evaluating our programming is very important, and our general manager feels that we can't do it without Arbitron numbers.
Okay. So we know how one GM feels. Okay. All right. Well, then I think unless there's anything else, we can adjourn and reconvene in executive session.
Move to adjourn to executive session.
Any objections?
Yes.
All right. I'll see you on a few.